All right, are you recording?
No. What was my line?
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Will you guys feel that? Do you feel that bump in the road? Do you feel like you got a couple hanger-ons now? Because, man, this bandwagon has gotten full in the last couple days. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that the Caps are up 2-1 against the Penguins in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup playoffs. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, because let's face it, I mean, these first three games have been pretty uneventful. Probably a short show. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm feeling good. The Caps, gotta say, it's like old times up against the Penguins, but three games into the series, the Caps lead 2-1. They've played really well. I've been very impressed with how the Caps have done in these first three games. I don't know, man. How are you feeling? I got a lot more people at work coming up to me wanting to talk hockey. There's definitely some interest here now that the Caps are actually doing pretty well against the Penguins.
Well, Brandon, I'm doing better than Tom Wilson right now because word has gotten out and he is suspended for three games for an illegal check to the head on Pittsburgh's Zach Aston-Reese. Not to hijack the conversation, but it sounds like we may be talking about something a little different for the next few minutes.
So that just happened?
Yep, that literally got, let's see, it was on Twitter 40 seconds ago.
All right, so if news is breaking, let's talk about it. Tom Wilson, he's definitely taken center stage.
I have to watch the video, that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, he's definitely taken...
I'm curious to what they are going to say about why they gave him a three-game suspension here and how much of this is based on his reputation.
I want to say about 98% is based on his reputation. That's actually, I mean, it's funny that this is all happening because this is something that you and I talked about last week, saying was it worth having Tom Wilson on this team if he's going to be under the microscope so much by the referees. But let's talk about that hit. So game two, Wilson had a hit on a Penguin, and it kind of was like a sandwich between Wilson and Ovechkin. Didn't look illegal to me. Didn't look like Wilson had done anything wrong there. This hit in the third game definitely raised a lot of eyebrows. The Penguin, Zach Aston-Reese, he left the game. His year is probably over. He has a broken jaw.
Oh, it's over. Broken jaw, concussion, like, dude's done.
Yeah, and... But this was a very interesting hit because if you look at all the replays of Wilson, the two of them make eye contact. They're both bracing for a hit. Of all the hits that I've seen Tom Wilson do, this one doesn't seem to be the worst one in his history.
It's definitely not the worst one he's done, and the fact that this one's getting him a three-game suspension, we're saying it's not the worst, is certainly a problem. And there's definitely a problem with the way he plays to the extent that he just... The problem with these kind of things is he puts himself in that situation, and like, you want players that are going to finish their checks and, you know, they're not going to back down from something, but it's two games in a row that he's put himself into a tough situation. It's kind of hard for the Dumoulin one just because, like, Dumoulin was sort of avoiding Ovechkin and kind of got in Wilson's way, for lack of a better term. I saw someone on Twitter that was comparing it to when the Steckel-Crosby thing, where Steckel by no means was intending to hit Crosby. They just happened to try and occupy the same space at the same time, and it was Crosby's head that just happened to get right there with Steckel's elbow, but by no means was it intentional. So it's tough to say, you know, if this is the... I don't know if I'd say it's the worst one, but it's definitely like... Wilson seems to put himself in situations where they're going to have these conversations. And it's not going to help his reputation that now he's going to have a 3-game suspension on his record.
Do you find it interesting that conspiracy theorists, everybody's going to say it, he hit 2 different Penguins, and this is going to be his biggest suspension that he's had, the fact that it's up against Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Do you think that is a factor at all?
No.
Yeah.
I know people are going to be like, oh, I don't know. But, like, if it was the same situation but, like, reverse, so say it was, I don't know, Hornquist that took out Chiasson.
Right.
You know, like, we'd all be in the exact same head. We'd all be like, throw the book at him. Yep. 27 games. He's out. Get him out of here.
Yeah, yeah, now, I agree with that.
We're doing the exact same thing. So I completely understand the Penguins fans being upset. I think having everybody come out of the woodwork of being like, Tom Wilson is a dangerous human being and he should be put behind bars. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, there's people like Ken Campbell was on there on Twitter last night talking about how he's a predatory hit. No! It's hockey. It's not badminton. You're not trying to avoid bumping the other person, which in badminton, I guess if you hit somebody else, you'd be on their side. But it's a physical sport. So this whole thing, 3 games, I don't know. That part bothers me quite a bit just because I think this is more reputation-based than based on the actual hit. Now, I haven't watched their video yet, so I'm curious as to what kind of BS the NHL is going to say here, but we'll wait and see.
I'm intrigued as well to see what the NHL is going to say and the reasoning for that. I 100% think it is. I mean, I said 98%. It's 100% his reputation. You've got a lot of people. I mean, you saw him against the Islanders so many years ago with a huge hit. He got suspended in the preseason. This season, twice now, he's had questionable hits, games 2 and 3. 3-game suspension. I mean, they might as well just done 4 and said, you know, if it goes to game 7, you're going to miss the series. So
here's an interesting point. So I haven't watched the video, but the Washington Post, Isabel Kershudian, has tweeted out one of the things that they were saying. She, Aston Reese's injury. Is it Ashton? Aston? Whatever. The gentleman's injury, which sucks, by the way. Like, he's a human being, and to have a broken jaw and a concussion, like, I feel bad for the guy, I mean, even if he is a Penguins player or not. That and Wilson's 2 suspensions earlier this season meant likely a harsher punishment. And that apparently the video, which I haven't watched yet, says, while Wilson led with a shoulder, the Department of Player Safety ruled that he elevated up to make Aston Reese's head the main point of contact. The check would have been legal had Wilson stayed low and delivered it through Aston Reese's core. Okay, that's a really good point. Given us against Tom Wilson, but that's a very good point. Wilson does go out of his way to raise, like, he's a big dude. Like, I get that part, right? So, like, I'm 5'8 on a good day, and Wilson's like, I don't know, 7'3 or something. So, if he goes to body
close,
I was, you know, right, plus or minus a couple inches. So, if he goes to hit me, right, like, his shoulder is going to hit me in the head because I'm not tall and he is. So, that's a point to make in terms of, like, it's not really necessarily his fault if he hits up higher. To some extent, like, if he's going up against a short, I don't know how tall Aston Reese is, but if you're going against a shorter guy, like, if he was going to go hit Martin St. Louis, it'd probably assault because he's retired. But back in the day, you know, you can't say, like, what am I going to do, crawl and hit the guy because he's short? But Wilson does go out of his way to raise his body up. He very easily could have hit him in the arm and lower shoulder or his center mass kind of thing, and he didn't do that. So, again, Wilson puts himself into these situations. I think 3 games is a bit rough, but I guess Isabel Kershudian makes a good point. He had the 2 suspensions earlier, and I was thinking, once I saw about the injury, I was like, ooh, that's probably not going to go well.
Right.
Because I wonder if the dude hadn't gotten as injured as bad as he did, if it would have been 1 or 2 games.
It's very interesting. It's 3-game of a suspension, yet there was no penalty whatsoever on the ice.
You know, is that a point to the referees they're not doing the right thing? Is it a point to the rule needs to be looked at? Is it a situation where they can review – you know, should they be allowed to go back and review large hits? But from what I understand last night, the referees all got together and were like, nope, legal hit.
From the angles I saw, it looked like a legal hit. Wilson led with his shoulder. They two of them made eye contact. The Penguins player, Aston Reese, he saw Wilson coming. He braced for it. I mean, Wilson's a bigger guy than he is. So if Wilson's hitting him, yeah, the smaller guy's going to fall to the ice. Like, is there video of, like, the jaw breaking from the hit or from him hitting the ice? That's the other thing you got to think about as well.
Well, I think the hit certainly helped.
Well, like, there's yes.
Not to make it political, but there's an old, I don't know how old, I guess old joke now from, you know, Eddie Izzard?
Oh, yeah.
So there's an old joke from his, I can't remember what it's called, but one of his specials from years ago. I think he was out in San Francisco. And he was talking about how the National Rifle Association says that guns don't kill people, people kill people. But I think the gun helps. You know, just going around and saying bang to a lot of people, that's not really going to do a lot to them. And not trying to get political, but the point still is made. Like, yes, he may have gotten more injured by hitting the ice.
Right.
But he got hit in the ice if Wilson hadn't leveled him.
Right.
And while you can't necessarily blame every player for a check that they hit or do, that causes a player to get injured. So, like, if, you know, Wilson goes and does a standard normal check, you know, arm in, shoulder in. Oh, I don't know how much more you can get your shoulder in. But, like, elbow in, check to the middle of the guy's numbers, or the front of his chest is on numbers on the front, unless you're, like, a Sabres jersey. You know, the center mass knocks the guy down, and that's how he gets hurt. That's not the player's fault. He's following the rule. So I think some of this success definitely is reputation, but then it's also he got suspended earlier this season. And there's a I haven't watched the video yet, but there's a Ted Starkey put out from the Department of Player Safety key points in the review of it. Illegal check to the head, which I still find a little bit hard to believe. Like, yes, he definitely makes contact with the head, but it's not the main point of contact. But he could have avoided it by hitting him lower. There's an injury on the play, which I feel like should not necessarily be a part of it.
Right.
I feel like that's BS.
But how does Wilson hit lower when he's already a tall guy going up against a shorter?
Well,
guy?
Because he does raise himself up when he goes to hit him.
Okay, but he doesn't leave his feet though.
He does after making contact, but that's just momentum carrying you at that point. Right. I don't think that's part of it. Again, I haven't watched the video yet, but I think the injury injury should necessarily be a part of the play because, like I said before, a standard, completely legal hit can result in an injury. I mean, are we going to start suspending players for taking shots and it causes an injury on a player because they blocked it? It's not the player's fault who took the shot. You know, if it's a legal play, now this isn't a legal play, apparently. So you can make the point that it should be part of it. But I feel like the injury should not play a part because different players have different, levels of being able to take certain hits. You know, a guy who's been injured a number of times is more likely to get injured than someone who hasn't been injured before. Someone who's had many concussions is more likely to get a concussion than someone who hasn't had one before.
Well, all right, so let's move on from the fact that, personally, I will say I'm not surprised by the suspension. I don't think that it warranted a suspension because I think he did what a legal hit is defined in the NHL. They're saying the main contact was the head. From all the video I've watched, it looks like it's shoulder to shoulder. But
he definitely makes contact with the head, but I don't think it's the main point of contact.
Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. So now the Capitals are without Tom Wilson for the next three games. Where do the Capitals go from here? Who takes his spot? Top line Tom is now press box Tom. So who is going to take that top line spot from him?
Who? Someone tweeted out earlier. I think it was actually it might have been his book or shooting, but I could be wrong. That they expect Devontae Smith-Pelly to be back on the top line, which I'm going in the regular season. I would have been like, no, but he actually has been playing pretty well.
He's been fantastic.
For his skill set, and that's not to be mean because his skill set is so far beyond mine when it comes to playing hockey. Like, I shouldn't talk, but I just feel like that's not going to make them better necessarily than putting some, like, you're not going to put Kuznetsov because he's Backstrom. I don't think you put Oshie because you don't want to mess up the second line. But they're kind of flipping around with Vrana and Stevenson. My thought is, why not put Stevenson back on the second line? Because they switched him last night and put Vrana on the first line. Because Vrana wasn't doing anything on the fourth line. Like, he's really fast. But that's about it.
It seemed to me like the what Barry Trotz was trying to do, whether he was meant to do this or not, is that Vrana played close to nothing for 2.5 periods. And then the last 5 minutes of the game, he put Vrana in there with some fresh legs and really got the puck moving and was hoping that Vrana could be the spark for a later goal. Now, it came down to Backstrom and Ovechkin, which is always good to see. But do you think that was actually the plan all along by Barry Trotz, was save up the young kid's speed and agility for when everyone else is tired?
No way. He's like 23. Dude's got all the energy in the world.
So
he's a young guy. He's fine. He'll give him a 5-hour energy. He'll go fly around the ice.
All right. So potentially move up Verano. What about some of the guys that are sitting in the press box? But Travis Boyd.
Guess Travis Boyd is getting
Shane Gersek.
That would be my guess. I think it's going to be Boyd. I think because he got. Didn't he play earlier in the playoffs?
I don't know.
What do I feel like? Didn't he play a game earlier, or am I going crazy?
I didn't think he did, but he may have. Chandler Stevenson like and him. Didn't they switch off?
Yeah, maybe. I'd like to see Gersek, but I feel like it's going to be Boyd. And I mean, I think Boyd will be okay too, but maybe we'll bring one of the new guys they signed today and bring him in. I'm just kidding. Their contracts will start till next season. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Boyd as the guy they call in. That would be my guess. And I think he ends up on the fourth line and they just hope, I think whoever it is going to have to step up. And I think whoever takes Wilson's spot on the first line for these few games, I don't think it's necessarily going to be one guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a rotation in terms of who's there. I'd like to see Verana.
Okay. I'd like to see Verana too, but man, what a difference for Backstrom and Ovechkin, or Backstrom and Ovi and Kuznetsov on that front line. If you're going from top line Tom, this big, big bulldozer, to tiny little, speedster Verana, that's quite a different way to play.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a difference in terms of his physicality. But he's got speed, and he's a good player, and I think it'll give him more offensive opportunities, and he can move the puck well. I see no reason not to give the kid a shot. But, Smith Valley's been playing pretty well, and he plays physical, and he certainly has no problems getting in people's faces, as we saw what he yelled. I think it was at Patrick Hornquist in game two. This is a family show, so I can't say what he said or yelled at him. Was it Hornquist? I can't remember. Across the penalty boxes, but it's going to be interesting to see in terms of who they play there. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Smith-Pelly starts and then they kind of do a rotation in terms of different guys getting an opportunity. But some of this goes back, that you shouldn't – Wilson's putting this team in a situation where they're up in a series and now they have to make lineup adjustments because he's unable to control how his hits are going to be. And while, the game moves fast and they're moving quick, this happens every once in a while and you're going, all right, well, the guy's just unlucky. But he has a reputation for a reason.
Yeah.
And he puts himself in these situations. He very easily could have avoided that hit last night.
Now, like I said last week, now that Tom Wilson is suspended and gone for three games, do you invest money in a guy, re-up his contract, because I believe he's a restricted free agent coming up this offseason?
Yeah, I think you're right. Let me keep going. I'll double-check, but I believe you're correct.
Do you want to invest money in a guy for your future who may be sitting in the press box?
Maybe a giant dummy?
For some of your biggest games, because like I said last week, do you want to invest money in a guy with a bad reputation? Because every time he hits anyone, he's going to be put under the microscope. Yes, he's really good at being an agitator, and he was getting better in some of his skills this year, but if he's got the reputation, if refs are constantly going to look at him, oh, that was a trip, that was this, that was that, you're in the penalty box when he didn't really do anything, or maybe he did do something, do you want to invest money in somebody like that?
Was it game two or game three? I think it was last night where you got the penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct, and all you saw on the cameras was him smiling at the other guy who was trying to like get in his face.
Yeah, that was.
And I was like, did he just get a penalty for smiling at the other dude?
Well, like,
my guess is he said something.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he said something, but that was another point of contention after the big hit and Reese being taken off the ice. There was a zoomed in shot of Tom Wilson smiling and laughing. Now, it's already been debunked that Jay Beagle came up, said something to him.
The booing.
And Tom Wilson was reacting to that. However, if you show Tom Wilson, the guy who just had this huge hit on the Jumbotron, and he's laughing as a guy's being taken off the ice, that's not going to sit well with the home crowd and the people watching TV nationally. It's just going to make him look like a punk.
Yeah, I mean, some of this is, reputation, and you look at the organization as a whole in the offseason, what they're going to want to do with him. And I can understand if they wanted to bring him back. I mean, he's got 7 points in 9 games. I'd be curious to see what his stats are through these Pittsburgh games. He's got a point in each game against the Penguins. He's got 2 assists in game 1. He had 1 assist in game 2 and an assist in last night's game. So he's getting you know, he's contributing to the team. So it's hard to go and look at him and be like, well, I don't know if I want to keep him around next year. But then you look at the cap situation, you look at his what his reputation currently is in the NHL. And like you talk about, do you want to spend money on a guy that may be missing time every once in a while because he's unable to control himself? Then you look at his age. He's only 24, and his game may come around where he's not going to be a douche and try and hurt people. Or not that he's – I don't think he's a guy who's trying to hurt others. I think he's a guy who just uses his size to his advantage, but he's got to learn to behave himself. And so I think the Capitals have to look at it in terms of Tom Wilson. If they feel like he can stop his stupidity and getting guys hurt and actually control his game a little bit more. And I wonder if this 3-game suspension is a wake-up call or maybe not. I mean, if you got suspended in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, who gets suspended in the preseason?
Right.
You're warming up. You're not out there being like, first of all, you're Tom Wilson on this team, so you know you're going to make the roster spot. You're not some dude trying to make the team be like, look, you may not like that I can't score goals, but I'll be physical. Like, we know you're going to make the roster, so you don't have to go and try out and level people. So, you know, is there a question about his judgment in terms of not doing something that's stupid?
Now, if you get if you let Tom Wilson go, he goes off to greener pastures. You take some of his money, you give a little bit more to John Carlson. You can re-sign Jay Beagle and re-sign.
Who plays on that first line?
And hold on, and you can re-sign Devontae Smith-Pelly. I say do that.
Okay, who's playing on the first line then? Keep in mind, we're talking about the offseason. The Caps are winning this series right now.
That's very true. Yes. Who's playing in that top line? You go out and you do a couple trades and you sign a veteran on free agency or at the draft. Bring back Troy Brouwer.
No.
No. But yeah, Tom Wilson's got the Caps in a very interesting situation right now, and the Caps are up 2-1. The Penguins, I mean, the last game, I game two, I listened to. I was coming back from Ocean City, so I listened to it on the car ride home. Game three, I actually got to watch. That Pittsburgh crowd in that first period was silent. I mean, it was insane of how little reaction there was from those fans. It seems like the fans were kind of doubting their team. When Wilson hit one of their players and took him out, they got rowdy. But before that, this crowd didn't seem very confident in their own Pittsburgh Penguins team.
Well, it's, you know, I'm watching the games, and I feel like this Penguins team is either they're playing down a gear or something's up. Because you see players on their team that are star players that are just not playing as well as they normally do. And I know, like, Malkin's hurt and he came back last night. But you look at, like, Letang, he was making stupid plays last night where just things you look at and you go, he doesn't normally do that. So it's been a weird series. I think the Capitals are definitely playing, you know, pretty well right now. I feel like they could be playing better, especially defensively. I feel like some parts, like, if you look at, was it Crosby's goal last night? Where I tweeted it out incorrectly. I thought Crosby is one that undressed him, but it was, I think, Guentzel. Where he, like, Orlov just, he goes to, like, make the play, and then he turns himself side to the side as if that's gonna, like, he's gonna lay a hit, but then he doesn't hit the dude. So he's taking himself out of the play. Like, it almost looked like, and I compared it on Twitter, for anyone who's an Arsenal fan will understand this, but Granit Xhaka, when he tried to stop Paul Pogba in the game on Sunday, Brandon doesn't know what I'm talking about, against Manchester United, where he went for the slide tackle, and Pogba was just, like, stopped, and Xhaka went, like, flying by, and was like, what are you doing? Like, Orlov took himself out of the play and led to the Penguins getting their second, I think it was a second goal. So I feel like if the defense stepped up and played better, that they win that game a little easier than it was last night. But, you know, I think the Capitals can definitely do better. I feel like the Penguins can do better. I don't think we've seen the best from these teams through three games.
Manchester United wears red.
That's true. So yes. Though they're wearing their blue.
Dmitry Orlov, let me say this. I have said this a plethora of times. I'm not a huge Dmitry Orlov fan. I think he makes a lot of dumb mistakes, and then usually I say that on the show.
I like Orlov, but I didn't like that play.
I usually say he makes a lot of dumb mistakes on the show, and then the very next night he has a great game. So Dmitry Orlov, you suck. But anyway,
get out.
But he was a guy where I was like, you know, if we didn't protect him and we protected Nate Schmidt, how much different would this team be? Because I would have liked to have kept Nate Schmidt instead of Dmitry Orlov, because while Dmitry Orlov has little glimpses of brilliance, he a lot of times makes some really, really dumb mistakes. And stuff like this happens. I mean, you see him, he kind of breaks down, gets the puck behind him, makes a dumb pass, and then boom, second later, the opposing team has a goal. This is not new for Dmitry Orlov doing this, for what you're talking about last night. He does this a lot, and I think it's kind of under the radar how much he does that.
I mean, if you're talking about salary, then yeah, you keep Schmidt over Orlov because you save yourself some money, but I also feel like Orlov is a better player in the long run, and although Schmidt's been playing pretty well out there in Vegas, but that whole Vegas team has just been ridiculous. So I, you know, it's tough to say.
Schmidt got a goal, right? He sent them to overtime.
Yeah.
The other game,
on the other night. I think you keep Orlov. I think it was the right play. I think you overpaid.
Yes,
quite a bit to keep him. But you had to some extent, to actually get him to stick around.
Orlov and Eller are the two guys where I'm like, I don't know about these guys. And then the very next game, they have absolutely fantastic games. So
Eller has been playing well.
He's good. I'll give it to Eller. This has been a great series for him. It's been a great postseason for him. But since it took him a long time to get comfortable in Washington, and even then I wasn't really sold on him. But
Here's an interesting point going back. I forgot I'd written this earlier. So the Penguins have been focusing a lot on Wilson and trying to get him back for the Dumoulin hit last night for the Aston Reese play.
I mean, that's why I think the Capitals were able to get a goal so quickly after that Tom Wilson hit. The Penguins and their fans were all still thinking about that hit while the Caps are going out and trying to get a goal.
So, yeah, I'm wondering if Wilson now being out is actually going to allow the Penguins to get back to their normal game, which mm-hmm. would obviously be a bad thing.
Yep.
So I think they put Wilson again. He's put this team. It's not necessarily his fault in terms of, like, you know, the Penguins focusing on him, aside from the fact that he was the one that was being a dick. But he's, you know, it's another situation where Wilson has done something that has caused his team to get itself into trouble. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. What is the next game? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. That's right. Thursday night.
So it's going to be – that's going to be an interesting one because, you know, fans are going to be all excited. But, you know, you have guys that also can hit besides Wilson. So it's not like the Penguins are going to suddenly be taking pot shots at every Capital that they can. Maybe a little bit at first, but the Caps are also going to be able to get back at them because they have other guys that – but also have no problem hitting, like Orpik and Smith-Pelly and Beagle's, like, not a huge hitter. You know, he'll finish his checks, but he's not exactly, like, the biggest hitter out there.
Do you remember the fight he got into with a Penguins player in 2011 where he just got knocked out, just rocked?
Yeah.
I just watched that this morning.
That guy was a douche. I can't remember his name. Yeah, he's a huge D-bag.
I can't remember his name either, but yeah, because there's a Penguins fan at work, so we're always kind of talking about the history of the two teams. I was like, remember Matt Bradley? And we were talking about him. I'm like, do you remember this fight with Jay Beagle and this guy? And we watched it on YouTube. Oof. Yeah, Beagle should not be fighting.
Yeah, it was bad. He got knocked out. He was got a concussion from that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, he was out for a couple weeks after that, too.
It went poorly for him.
Yeah. All right, so besides Tom Wilson, these first three games, I feel as if the Caps easily could be up 3-0 right now, but they kind of let that first game get away from them. They played pretty well. They were able to come back.
Yeah, they should be up 3-0 in the series.
Right, but after, you know, they took their foot off the gas after that second goal in the first game, and I feel watching games 2 and 3, they kind of learned from that, especially in the last game. Ovi comes and gets a goal, 62 seconds or 67 seconds before the end of the third. That's really showing me that the Caps are taking this seriously. They know that they can beat the Penguins. They have confidence in themselves, and they are going to play the full 60 minutes. I think they kind of learned after that first game, you give these guys an inch, they will take a mile, they will come up, and they will get three goals in 5 minutes, and you can't give them any more ice than you already have, because, you know, they're not going to go away easily, but you can contain them.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it so far. I think the Caps need to up their play if they really want to make a run at this thing.
So up their play, what do you mean by that? Do you think they need to be more aggressive on offense? Does the defense need to get better? Goaltending, I think Braden Holtby has done pretty well. He's been pretty stellar. What do you think they need to up their game on?
Defensively? I want to see I want to see more goal scoring from the bottom six forwards. I want to see defense step up. I mean, Shea Sun's played 9 games. Dude's got a whopping 0 points.
That's not good.
Jacob Yerebek has played 2 games, and he's at least got an assist.
Man, you know, Kepney? Holy cow.
He's only got 1 point. Dude's got 1 assist, so I can't talk about that, but I like him.
He is playing his butt off. All right, he's not showing on the scoreboard, not gaining any points, but the dude is all over the place. I feel like any kind of big play going on, Kepney is a part of it.
I like him. I like Kepney. I want to see him come back. His cap hit this season was $900,000, so he might want like 1.5. He's 27. I don't know when he turns 28. He turns 28 in September. He'll be 28 at the beginning of next season. It's early September is his birthday. So I'll take him back. 3-year deal, 2-year deal, 1.5. I'll take that with Kepney.
Absolutely. I will too. Christian Juice, I think this was game 2. I was on the road. I was listening to John Walton, and I think that he had like an open net, and he passed it to Ovechkin, who wasn't expecting it. I don't even think got a shot on goal, but like play was blown dead or wasn't. Nothing happened of it, but they were saying, you got to shoot that puck. Christian Juice was completely open. He had the puck. What is it about this team? Is it the culture? Is it Barry Trotz? What is it about this team that is telling them to pass first instead of taking the shot? Juice is young. He hasn't been around that long, so maybe, you know, he didn't want to take the shot. He was a little gun shy. But what is it about this team that makes them so allergic from just taking the shot and doing it? Is Ovechkin a safety blanket? Like, I don't know if I'm going to get the shot. I'm going to give it to Ovi. He scores all the time. What is it? What is it about this team?
I never played sports at quite a high level at all, really, or, you know, comparable to the level they're at now. But you play and, you know,
I can't even ice skate.
When you play with guys that are really good and you're like, oh, he has a chance to score, I'm going to feed him the puck, or I'm going to kick him the ball, or I'm going to pass him the ball, or whatever it may be. So I can understand why you feel like you're in a position to want to do that, especially if you're a young guy. It might be that Juice needs to grow in confidence so he can be a little more, you know, he feel a little bit better about his game. Before he starts, you know, it's a rookie thing where you don't want to necessarily show another guy up. You don't want the captain or, you know, one of the greatest players in the world or ever be mad at you because you didn't pass him the puck and an opportunity to give him to score. Or maybe the game plan is just give it to Ovi.
If the game plan is given,
I don't think that's the case. I was just screwing around.
Let's talk a little bit about Matt Murray. Have the Capitals figured out Matt Murray? Have they finally found a weakness in this, you know, sophomore who's already got 2 rings? Have they shown that there's a little, you know,
talk about coming in the league at the right time.
Right. There's a little, I don't know what the word is, you know, you can pierce the skin, you know, a little bit with them. Top right glove side seems to be his weakness. Have the Caps figured that out? Because Ovechkin seems to be targeting that. I believe Jakub Vrana also got one on short side glove side. So is that the spot? Have the Capitals figured it out?
Well, it's not the worst idea to focus on a spot where he might be want to overcompensate, because then you open up other parts of the net to shoot on. So I wouldn't be against that plan. I think that they are focusing a bit on glove side high. Obviously, you can't do that every single time, but it's working. You know, they're definitely doing a better job against him than they did last season.
Was Ovi's overtime winner? Did he originally shoot that glove side? Top right glove side? I believe he did.
Yeah, because it hit off the post and then came back out.
Right, and then Ovi was able to kind of slap it in after that.
Yeah, so I don't know, again, is it another thing where like Pittsburgh's just not, you know, their guys are just not playing as well as they should be?
I mean, Murray's had an off year pretty much. It's been a little weird. seeing how great he was his rookie year and the postseason before his rookie year, I mean, the Caps could not figure him out at all. And then to see him this year, he's definitely human. He's maybe the Penguins are kind of having seller's remorse there by making Marc-Andre Fleury available to Vegas.
Well, I don't know if we can compare anything to what's going on in Vegas right now, because that's I feel like a lot of it with them is it's their first season. Everyone's just like super excited and everything that's happening.
They're freaking good, man. You can't take that.
I know, but you got to do it more than once. I guess it's sort of the point I'm trying to make. Like, a part of me feels like Vegas is going to be not as good next season.
Is it a lot of one-year contracts with them?
No, I just think it's, they have that first year sort of like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. We have a hockey team in Vegas. And like, everybody's super excited. And the players have that chip on their shoulder, and it's not going to be there next season necessarily. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of regression, depending on what they do in the offseason. I mean, if they go out and make a couple of really good moves, then that's obviously not going to happen.
All right. Anything else we should talk about? Well, let's end Caps World talking about – well, actually, no. We do have more stuff to talk about before we get to the very end. So what else is going on in Caps World?
We got a couple of things going on. Actually, the team signed two players today, or announced that they had signed two players today. Let's start with Caps forward prospect Axel God, we kept trying to figure out how to say this guy's name. I still can't do it. Axel Yusufyabi to a three-year entry-level – I hope I figure that one out before the kid actually ends up playing for the Caps. They signed to a three-year entry-level contract, which starts next season at an average annual value of $860,000. Dude is 20 years old. He played for – I'm going to say this wrong – Djurgårdens IF in Sweden this past season. He was their fifth-round pick in 2016, and he'll be attending Brandon's favorite event in the summer – the 2018 at Caps Developmental Camp.
Yeah, let's have Fan Fest on a friggin' Wednesday at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'll be at work.
Jerks.
Caps also announced today that they signed Juuso Ikonen to a two-year, two-way deal. Now, his also starts next season. He's a native of Finland, and he spent last season with Brynäs in Sweden. He's about 5'9", 172, so he isn't exactly the biggest guy out there. Better avoid Tom Wilson. He's also going to be attending the 2018 at Caps Developmental Camp.
So the kid from Sweden, Axel, didn't he kind of like the World on Fire at the World Juniors? Didn't he get a lot of people?
He
like
didn't
really
do quite well. I think our buddy Ryan Drury is pretty excited to have him coming over.
From the few highlights I've seen of him, because as we were trying to figure out how to say his name, of course you go to YouTube, see if you can find some announcers, say his name for some highlights. The dude looks like a powerhouse. So, Tom Wilson's been the topic of conversation this show. Looking at this kid, he's a big kid. He knows how to hit. He knows how to score. We may be looking at Tom Wilson's replacement coming from Sweden.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's not put too much pressure on this kid. Be like, all right, you're going to come in on the first line.
Well, but I mean, if you're trying to save a little bit of cheddar, and Tom Wilson's going to be a guy that everyone's up in arms about.
I mean, my guess is dude's in Hershey next season.
Okay.
My guess is that if they decide to move on, they're going to trade his rights to someone for another player or do a sign and trade or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to keep him around, but it's got to, the offseason is going to be real interesting with all the cap hits and where it's going to end up being.
Now, man, I didn't want to bring this up.
Good.
I kind of feel like we should talk about it, though. At the end of the Blue Jackets, there was some video floating around of Barry Trotz talking to Tortorella. And if you can read lips and have that talent, you potentially could see Barry Trotz say, I'm gone.
If you're reading it correctly.
Right. I'm gone. I'm out of here or something, whatever.
I'm not coming back. Because I believe what he says.
Right. I'm not coming back. I'm done. It'll be an interesting offseason, but I don't know. I don't know. If I'm Barry Trotz, I'm not going up to other coaches in front of cameras and telling them that.
Yeah. That's the one part where I was like, why would he tell anyone that?
Wouldn't he do that in the locker rooms after the game?
Or just not tell anyone?
Right.
So why would he go and tell Tortorella? We don't know what he's saying, but if they get knocked out in this series, not to be mean, but is it the worst thing in the world if he doesn't come back? Because as far as I feel like if they don't make it through this series, he should go.
We'll see what happens.
That would be my my thoughts on the matter. I think it's time to move on to a new head coach if they decide to let him go. And I want Daryl Sador.
Oh, you already got somebody lined up.
Hell yeah, I do. Dude knows how to win.
All right. Well, I mean, some people didn't want us to discuss that on the show. I understand it. We got more important things to talk about. But I felt like it was in the news. We kind of had to talk about it. But, you know, someone asked Barry Trotz, and he said, you know, that was between myself and Tortorella. We weren't talking about that. And, like, he looked kind of shocked. Like, people were like, what? What are you talking about? But, like, I think Barry Trotz knows that there are always cameras around the rink. He's not just going to blurt that out in front of the camera. So I don't think he would say that.
Let me tell you, what the hell is his name? John Tortorella, what my plans are for the future. Like, no, he's not going to do that.
I'm out of here. You want to start your own? You want to start a business? You want to go in halfsies on a used car lot? I think that'd be fun.
You want to go halfsies?
Yeah, let's go halfsies. That's what he said.
Sure. No, I think it's crap.
Yeah. More important things to talk about. Anything else going on in Caps World?
No, I think that's it.
All right, so let's end Caps World saying this. Caps are up 2-1 against the Penguins. We lost top line Tom Wilson for 3 games. What do the Caps do to ensure that they can make it past the Penguins this round?
Someone else has got to step up on the bottom six, start scoring some goals, and the defense has to step up.
All not right.
To purposely point out the obvious, but that's like, you know, duh.
You know, this is really good. We got through one Caps World. You didn't bash Brooks Orpik once.
He's actually played well. I saw one gone, but he's played well.
All right, guys. That's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and we're actually going to go around the NHL because nothing going down on the farm. So before we go around the NHL, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
Well, the Caps-Penguins isn't the only series going on around the NHL. Lots of other stuff is happening. So, Coach Dan, tell us, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start with some NHL news, as Rick Dudley has left Montreal to head to Carolina to be their senior vice president of hockey operations. This is the same title that he held with the Canadiens. And Sportsnet.ca staff are reporting that Dallas will hire Jim Montgomery as their new head coach. Montgomery was previously the head coach of the University of Denver men's hockey team. He led them to the 2017 National Championship. That's the news from the past week in the NHL. Brandon, let's check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs, shall we? And as usual, we'll start in the West, where Winnipeg is up 2-1 on Nashville. Did not see that coming.
No.
Though that is far from over. Vegas is up 2-1 on San Jose.
We all saw
that coming.
Yep.
And then Tampa and Boston are tied currently, that being Wednesday night, at 1 game apiece. But they're playing right now. And as I check on NHL.com, the Penguins are up 3-1.
Penguins.
With about 6 minutes to go. I'm sorry, the Lightning. There's a yellow logo, and that's what I saw in my head. I don't know. Sorry, Lightning are up. Where'd it go? 3-1 with about 6 minutes to go in the second.
Jeez. I don't like Tampa. I don't like them.
Everybody's going to have a 2-1 lead at this point, apparently. Yeah, that's what's going on, man.
Nashville, Winnipeg. Very surprising. But let me tell you, like, we don't get to see a lot of Winnipeg games in full. You know, they don't play very often on NBC Sports, and if they do, I'm just missing them. But man, does that look like a fun place to play? The whiteout that the fans do—they're rowdy. They're watching it outside. I mean, that seems like Winnipeg would be a blast to watch a game in.
I feel like almost any Canadian city would be a blast to watch a game in.
Very true. Yeah, I that has to be something I do before I die, is just to go to any Canadian city and watch any team ever. All right, guys. Well, that's it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things and my thoughts about, although you've already heard my thoughts on the Tom Wilson suspension, as well as I'm sure a couple of other things. You can also find me there talking about Arsenal and hoping that they win tomorrow, being Thursday against Atletico. Oh, God, I need to get that once I get to the final. And then all sorts of other fun things on the Twitter and my thoughts on the latest bit of news that's come out about the Washington Redskins and how I just completely feel like I've made the right decision not really following that team anymore. Anyways, but
did you know that on Thursday, game one against the Capitals and Penguins did far worse than the NFL draft in the ratings in D.C.? So even though supposedly the majority of people don't like the Washington football team, they still watch the draft to see who they were going to get.
There are the Skins have a huge fan base.
Nah.
They've had a very big, very, you know, supportive fan base, even when they had guys like Shane Matthews and Danny Werfel that are running the team. You know, people have been rocking the gear for a long time, but anyways, if you want to find out what I'm talking about, you can find it on Twitter, because I'm not even going to talk about it and give them any sort of, not credibility, but airtime any more than they deserve. Because Dan Snyder's a douchebag, and so is the whole organization. And anything I say doesn't include the players. I mean, I'm sure they have players on their team. They're like a douchebag. So does every team. Likely is the case. But just some of the things I read today, I was just like, I can't do it anymore. Just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. It's not the losing. I'm used to the losing. I was, like I said, I was a fan of the team when Shane Matthews, Danny Werfel were the quarterbacks. And that was painful because they suck. So I'm out. Until they get rid of Bruce Allen and Snyder decides to back off and not act like a scumbag, I'm out. But yeah, that was find me on Twitter at WCP Coach and tell me all about how you agree with me. And if you really enjoy the show and Brandon and I rambling about all sorts of things, go ahead and I see you nodding. Go ahead and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Find out all kinds of information about the Washington Capitals, hockey itself, and when new shows will be coming out. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, can you do us all a solid and let us know about Brando Cash? He's shaking his head no, folks. That's mean. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts that we do around here. If you're a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, you can listen to The Call. A new episode of The Call just came out this week talking about the NFL draft and Ozzie Newsome's final time drafting players and what he did.
Where's he going?
He's retiring.
Honestly, dude, I haven't watched a Skins game in 2 years. I haven't really paid attention to football that much. So
Now,
I kind of have to because like I'm trying to follow the Bills because my dad's from Buffalo. Well, outside Buffalo. So it's like people are not happy about Josh Allen getting picked.
Yeah.
Dude's got a cannon. So let's see how he does before we're all like, no.
Yeah. Everybody says no until he starts winning. And they're like, never mind.
Oh, I like this pick now. You know what? We'll see. I need to get myself some Bills gear.
That's right. You can wear some purple. They're having the Ravens yard sale on Saturday.
I can't do it. I can't, man. My sister tried to be like, well, if you're going to follow another team, might as well follow the Ravens because you're from Maryland. And I was like, I get it, but I can't. I can't do it. It pissed me off when people that were Skins fans suddenly started following the Ravens. People who lived in Montgomery County, where I live, and suddenly started following the Ravens because they were good at, you know, when they first came into the league. I mean, they stole the team from Cleveland, but that's besides the point. I see you over there. And then, you know, dealing with some people we went to school with that were Ravens fans talking so much S. And so I was like, you know what? I can't do it. I can't. I won't do it. I have no problem with the Ravens. I'm not going to support the team.
Well, nobody's perfect. So that's fine.
Sorry. We all make mistakes. I'll be all right.
All right. Well, like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. check us out over there. I posted a video. Like I said, I was on the road for game two. I drive around with a dash cam wherever I go. And
you're in Russia, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I got some pretty cool footage of some crazy things that I have seen. And people that don't know, I work for a TV station, and my footage of bad driving has made it onto the air when we talk about distracted driving. So if you're out there, I will find you. But anyway, I listened to John Walton and Caps Radio on the way home on Sunday, and the dash cam picked up the audio, and I put up a video of all of John Walton's goal calls while I'm on the radio or while I'm on the road in Delaware. So go check that out. It's a pretty fun little video. It's I think John Walton dug it. So check that out. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too, especially when all your friends are bandwagon fans and all of a sudden love the Capitals and are watching games. Tell them to listen to What the Puck and get themselves up to speed so you're not just, you know, arguing with a brick wall at that point. So, coming up, we've got a couple games. We haven't really talked about if we're going to do a show before Game 7, if there is a Game 7. That's why you got to check us out on Facebook to know when a new show comes out. So let's just go over the next potential four games. All of them up against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Game four in Pittsburgh. That game starts at 7 o'clock, and that will be on NBC Sports. Then on Saturday, Cinco de Mayo. That game is at 7 o'clock back in D.C. You can watch it on broadcast television on NBC. Monday, back to Pittsburgh. Don't know if you're going to need that game or not, but it will be on NBC Sports. I'm going to assume 7:30 is the start time for that game.
Yeah, you guys tend to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And then on the 9th, it's a Wednesday, Game 7, if needed, back in D.C. That will be on NBC Sports as well. Again, I'm guessing 7:30 start, but we don't know. So Games 4, Game 5, we know they start at 7 o'clock. Caps have the potential of putting this team away on Cinco de Mayo. Two games left. If they can get it done, and we shall see what happens. Let me leave with this. Smoking Al Koken just tweeted this out, and he said the best way for the Capitals to express their justified outrage over the ridiculous Tom Wilson 3-game suspension is to prepare to welcome him back for Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. It's a lot of faith Al Koken has in this team that the Caps are going to come away with two more wins in this series and call it a series on Saturday.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
So we'll see what happens. Can the Capitals finally get this monkey off their back? Can they beat the Pens? Can they do it in less than 7? Caps have done a fantastic job these first three games. Yes, there's room for improvement. There always is. But I think, if anything, this team has shown that they're not scared of Pittsburgh like they were last year. They continue to play strong. They continue to fight for pucks. They continue to shoot top right glove side. I think the Capitals can have a good time in this series and continue to make it interesting. Game 3, I mean, besides the injury, that's what you want to see in a hockey game. That had everything you want in a hockey game. Grit, determination, and lots of goals scored by the Washington Capitals. So, Coach Dan, I think that's it for the show. I think that's it for the show this week.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good show. Good show.
All right, everybody. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.